want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about fear. I promised yesterday that I would tell you a story about a trail through the forest some years ago. Before I get to that, though, I want to read you some comforting words from the Scripture. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Matthew 10:28 says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Some of my listeners will remember that back in 1956, there were 5 American missionaries who were all speared to death by a tribe then called Aucas. My first husband, Jim Elliott, was one of those 5. About a year and a half after his death, I was alone on my station, the same station on which he and I had worked together, and I was talking to the Lord about the possibility of ever being able to go down and meet the very people who had killed my husband. Now, does that make any sense? I was a woman with a baby. My baby was 10 months old when my husband was killed. And was I now going to do anything so foolish as to ask God to allow me to go and visit those people? Well, I couldn't see any way in the world that it would ever happen. I was working on another jungle station with another tribe of Indians. But I simply said one day, "Lord, here I am, all of me for you forever. Do anything you want with me." Now, that was an honest surrender of myself. I didn't have any way of knowing what God might want to do with me. But not very long after that prayer, I received a message from another jungle missionary asking me if I would be willing to come over and spend time with his wife while he himself was going to be away. His wife didn't like to be alone on a jungle station, and maybe I would be willing to accompany her there. And so, although I was reluctant to do that because I was the only missionary on my own station, I didn't like to leave it, I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, do you really want me to do this?" The answer seemed to be yes. And so I went, taking my little daughter, who was then 2 years old, and I went to stay with this lady. I had been there just a couple of days when 2 Quechua Indians arrived at the lady's front door. Now, the Quechuas are a very, very peaceable and a very large tribe of people. I was familiar with them. I knew their language and had been working on the translation of the Bible into their language. So when they came, they were able to talk to me, and they said, "We've got 2 Alka women at our house." 2 women from the tribe who had killed my husband. They said, "Do you want to see them?" Well, I was so stunned, so shocked, I couldn't imagine how I was going to make that trip. I thought, does it make sense for her to go down to what seems to be a very dangerous place? But my hostess and I prayed about it. She said, "You can leave your daughter here. I'll take care of her. You go ahead and go with them if you want to." And these 2 Quechua men had said to me, "You got to hurry up, because we left home at 6 o'clock this morning when the sun was coming up. The sun is now in the middle of the day, and we have to get home before dark. So make up your mind real fast." I threw a few things into an Indian carrying net and set off down the trail following my 2 Quechua guides, both of whom had rifles over their shoulders because they were scared to death of the Alka Indians. And as we walked along, they would encourage me by saying, "Well, you see that twig over there? That's the way the Alkas keep tabs of where each other is going. Or do you see the way the grass is matted down there? That's where some Alka has been lying in wait for somebody that they could kill. We had to go up hills and down hills and across rivers, slipping in the mud, walking sometimes just on rocks. So it was a little bit scary, I would confess. But it says in Isaiah 41:13, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. It took us 6 hours, from noon to six in the evening, to reach the settlement of the Quechua Indians. And sure enough, there were two Alka women, easily recognized because they both had large balsa plugs in their ears, which certainly the Quechuas never did. Fortunately, the Quechua women had graciously put some clothes on these two women who had appeared totally naked, because that's the way the Alkas lived. And these two women were chattering away in a language that none of us understood. I understood Quechua and another Indian language, but I didn't know any Alka, and of course, they didn't know any English. It was amazing, the trust that I saw in those women. What did they want of me? Why were they there? Was it perhaps because there had been warfare in the tribe? Had they fled from some terrible thing that had happened? Were they perhaps decoys to lure me in to their territory where perhaps I myself would be killed? Probably not very many of you who are listening have had anything quite that dramatic to take place in your life. I look back and I think it was a drama, all right. But it was ordained by God. I had said, Lord, I'm available. Do anything you want with me. So here I was with these people. Now, it would take me a much longer time to talk about the opportunity that I had to take these two women back to where I was living with the Quechua Indians. They lived with me for almost a year. It took me all that year to try to learn their extremely difficult language. But one day, I felt that I had understood sufficiently to believe that these two women were telling me, when that palm tree gets ripe, we're going home, and we want you to come with us. And of course, I said to them in their language, I had learned enough of it by that time, I said to them, will your people kill me as they killed my husband? And they laughed. They put their arms around me. They said, Gikari, which was the name they had given me. Gikari, you're our mother. We love you. Nobody's going to kill you. We'll tell our people that you're a good person. And so it happened in 1958 that my little daughter and I and these two Alka women and the sister of one of the five American missionaries who had been killed, the sister of Nate Saint, her name was Rachel, and I followed these Indians on the trail to where the Alkas lived. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:4, let nothing disturb you, nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. In another of the Psalms, I haven't got the reference here, it says, the Lord works out everything for his own ends. My daughter and I had the great privilege of living for 2 years with the people who had killed my husband. We had thought of them as savages. The whole world had been scared of them. There were no tribes in Ecuador that wanted to have anything to do with the Alkas because they were known to be fierce, known to be killers. I found them the most charming, calm, quiet, happy, delightful, loving people. Why had they killed the five men? Of course, I had learned their language long enough to know that the only reason that they had killed those five men was because they thought they were cannibals. They thought anyone from the outside was a cannibal. And so they thought that these five men had come to eat them. God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? He says, I will go with you. Do not be afraid. I may be talking with someone who has a hard decision to make. Perhaps it's scary. You don't know whether you can handle it. You don't know whether you've got the stamina for it. You don't know whether it's God's idea or just a notion that somebody put in your head. The Lord's going to show you, and He is going to remind you not to fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I wanted to read that twice because some of you are fearful. Some of you are afraid of tomorrow. The Lord has only given you today, hasn't He? He has been with you yesterday. He is with you now. He will be with you tomorrow. Fear not.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.